Hi, welcome to the Read, Play, Talk podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Paris. My other host, Jack Love, is out today, so I'm going to be flying solo on this interview. This podcast is a resource for parents and caregivers as we educate on the importance of reading, playing, and talking with children every day. In this episode, I'm going to be talking with Jessica Lucero and Stacy Olguin from the Balch Springs Public Library about what families can find at the library during the summer and year-round. So welcome, Jessica and Stacy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for joining me today. Before we get started in our questions, why don't you each take a minute and tell us a little bit about yourselves?
I originally started out as a teacher. I grew up in El Paso, Texas, and taught there for a good long time. And then my husband wanted to go to culinary school here in Dallas. So we picked up and moved to Dallas and continued teaching. And then I thought I wanted to change it up a little bit. So I went to library school, got my master's degree, and became the youth services librarian at the Balch Springs Library.
So good. And Stacy, how long have you been in that role?
4 years.
4 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. And Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I actually knew I wanted to be a librarian since I was a little girl. My aunt was a librarian, so I knew I was going to just follow into her footsteps. And so I moved to Texas when I was 18 with the intent of going to grad school in Austin. But life happened and I made friends and got a job here in the Dallas Metroplex and ended up graduating from UNT with my master's. And I've been managing public libraries for about 10 years now.
Awesome. And you haven't always been in Balch Springs. Where else have you worked?
Well, I started my career at ULIS as a circulation aide. So that's pretty much your first job when you start working in libraries. And once I graduated from UNT with my master's, I kind of fell into this small community library managing right out of grad school. And that really projected me into that managing field at such a young age. And so from there, I moved on to an assistant library manager at Lancaster and then into the director position at Balch Springs.
Awesome. And how long have you been in this role?
Just over a year at Balch Springs.
Yeah, so good. I cannot preach about the Balch Springs Public Library enough. I think y'all do incredible things in your facility and for families. I do want to talk a little bit about perception of public libraries, and that has changed, at least in my opinion, has changed drastically over the last decade or so. So can you both maybe speak to that of like, what would you describe to families as an updated description of what the public library is?
So libraries aren't quiet places anymore where you have to, you know, shh every time, you know, you need to ask a question or what have you. We are a community hub is what I like to think of public libraries as. We welcome all families, all ages, and we celebrate diversity. We have programming. We have classes. And the library is just a place to, one, learn, but also a place to have fun.
I love that. What about you, Jessica?
Stacy's absolutely right. When I think of libraries, community hub, it gives me chills because I've always described our public library like that. And I think access is a key word when thinking about your public library, not just to books, but we have computers that we have people come in that need to use the internet. We offer a whole variety of social services. And then even, you wouldn't think, but social hours, this might be a chance for moms to come in and talk to other moms or for teenagers to come in after school and meet with other teenagers. And then we know that it's extremely important for the kiddos to start interacting at a young age. So really just access to materials and people and anything that you would want out of your community.
I love that. I think for so long, people just thought you go to the public library to check out a book, and that's the only purpose the library serves in the community, and that's not what public libraries are. Not just the Balch Springs Public Library, but public libraries across the country are providing all of these free and unique resources to families. But I feel like you guys, in particular at Balch Springs, you have really embraced this change. And instead of like fighting against it, like you're just diving straight in. And to meet the needs of your community, you guys have made some pretty significant changes within your library to help best meet the needs of your community. So can you tell me a little bit about the changes that you guys have made recently and what families can expect when they walk into your library?
So the first big change that just recently happened was we were able to switch our computer lab with our kids' room because our families had outgrown that tiny space. And so it's just so exciting because we have so much more space for our families to come for story time, baby lap sit. We've got, you know, kits that we can display very easily now where they were kind of cramped in the kids' room or put in a separate location. So we're super excited for all our patrons to come and see the new changes that are happening. We've got a makerspace. We call it a discovery lab. So we have lots of different machines like a Cricut, sewing machine, weaving looms, all kinds of different things that patrons can check out. And then the really cool thing that's coming up is that we are going to be considered a family place library. And the family place libraries are a national model. So we're going to be in the group of libraries that provide services to families, especially for early literacy. So we will be a center for parent education and family support. We will support the essential role of parents as first teachers. We are so excited about that.
I am too. And you know, I mean, parents as first teachers, like that is yes. our heartbeat yes, with ma'am. Replay Talk. And so it is wonderful and just such a joy to have community partners who are doing similar work that we can collaborate together.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did want to point out, I know you said that you are switching your children's space or have switched it. The children's space you had before was beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful children's spaces I've seen in a public library. And y'all have just done such a great job of engaging families that you needed a bigger space.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so it wasn't like, oh, this isn't working. We need something better. Like, it was so good that it was drawing so many families that you just needed double or even more of that, probably the space.
Yes.
So yeah, that's beautiful. And then another thing I wanted to touch on is the makerspace. And that's like a very common term right now. We hear it a lot in schools. Like a lot of our school librarians are doing makerspaces.
Yes, ma'am.
For children. But your makerspace is really for like older teens and adults.
Yes,
which I love giving adults that avenue to be creative and just come and learn and try something new.
Yes, we were thinking about how if someone has a small business, they can totally come in, make whatever they need to, make that little bit of extra money that they need, and it's free for them. Sometimes they'll have to buy a few supplies, but for the most part, they don't have to have that expense of the, you know,
the actual machine,
yes.
whatever it takes.
Yes.
Definitely. Jessica, any other changes in the library?
Yeah, we were able to create a lot of that extra space because we did a genderification project, which some librarians, I think, can be, it's a controversial topic.
Tell us what that means.
So essentially, Dewey Decimal is no longer at our library at all. So if you're used to going in, going through the card catalog, finding that 6 to 8 digit number, and then having to go through the collection and then find the book, now we have set up our collection in more of a bookstore browsing style. So we have put every fiction and nonfiction book into a genre. So of course you're used to, if you're a reader of romance or science fiction, our fiction collection is absolutely set up that way. But now our nonfiction, so if you're looking for cookbooks or health, mental health, history, science, now you can go to those shelves and it's labeled very easily for you to find just something you may be interested in, maybe not a particular book, but you can browse the area. And so it has made circulation for our patrons so much easier to be able to find things that they're interested in reading.
Yeah, I visited your library recently and it is incredible. It really does feel like it's laid out like a bookstore. You're able, okay, I want to learn more on this topic. I'm going to go here on this shelf for all of those books. So I can imagine where it's much easier for your patrons to locate exactly what they're looking for. But I also can imagine it was a major undertaking getting your library from where it was, the Dewey Decimal System, to the genrefication.
Yes, it took about 4 months. And of course, we had a plan going into the project, but just taking a look at everything that we had staff members touch every single item in our library and decide, you know, what subject is this going to fit into. So some of those subjects that we had initially planned went away and some new ones were created. And so that took our staff about 4 months to get everything straightened out and back on the shelf, which sounds like a long time, but for the amount of books that we had, we actually got it done pretty quickly and was able to make it as flawless as possible for our patrons.
And you stayed open.
And we were open the entire time.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about programming. And your branch offers tons of programs. So where does the inspiration for these programs come from? Because you have a wide variety, you know, for different ages, interests.
We just try to think about what our community would really be excited about or, you know, just have fun or to learn. We are a very primarily Hispanic community, so we think about that as well. Most of our parents work, so we try to have programs for adults in the evenings, after school programs for the kiddos. And then in the mornings, we'll have, you know, our baby lap sit, our story time. But we really think about the patrons that come in, what are they really needing? And what do we see on a daily basis? Maybe they're asking for certain things and we're like, we don't have that, but we will definitely think about that, see how we can put that into place.
And I think one good thing about librarians, we are so open to sharing our ideas.
For sure.
And so what one library does, we are more than welcome to take that idea and then just kind of tweak it a little to fit our community needs.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's something we have a collaborative group that meets several times a year between Mesquite ISD, Mesquite Public Library, and Balch Springs Public Library. And it's not a, oh, we're doing this and you can't have it. It is truly like, what are you doing that's working?
Yeah.
How can we take that within our organization and maybe tweak it a little bit to where it meets the needs of our families or our community? But I love that, that you're looking at, you know, your community as a whole, the demographic, you know, the schedules. What are the needs? You know, you're hearing comments and you're adjusting, which I love that libraries in general are taking this approach instead of this is the way we've always done it. So this is what we're going to do. You're really taking that input and seeing shifts in the community and adjusting on your end as well.
We're very flexible, but I want to give kudos to Jessica because she came in, you know, with lots of ideas and we're a great team. So we're very excited about doing new things, trying new things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But we're just so excited to offer new programs for our patrons and see if they stick.
Yeah, and that's a great mentality to have. We're going to try it. I have no idea if this is going to work, but we're going to do our best. And like one of the things you're trying this summer, which I love, is a talent show.
Yes.
Which is so fun. And that's at the end of the summer, right?
Yes.
It's in July. And so this is brand new, and we'll see what the outcome is. But I love that. I mean, that's throwing things to the wall, seeing what sticks.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
So good. Okay, within your programming, I mean, you have lots of families that participate, you know, some that don't participate in every program, but they're coming to what interests them. How have you seen your programs and what you offer benefit the families that attend?
We will get lots of comments about how, you know, my kid didn't want to come. And then after they attended this program, they either made a friend or they learned something new or they just had fun. So we love getting those comments. That really helps us to decide whether those programs are something that we should continue with or maybe just tweak a little bit. But sometimes I'll get parents that'll say, you know, my kid was so shy, you know, and since they've been coming, I'll just see that blossoming in them. And they'll come and run and give me a hug because they feel comfortable at the library. And that's our main goal. It is to have people feel like this is their second home. And that the kids feel comfortable to talk to us. I mean, we have a little girl who comes in. She knows where the crayons are. So she will go to the drawer and grab the print because she knows where they are.
Yeah.
She feels that comfortable around us. And that's kind of what we really love to see. We love to see the kids blossom. And then, you know, we have teen time. So we have our regulars. We would love to have more teens come in. But we're trying. We have programs for them as well. And we'll have adult patrons who will say, I really enjoyed that class. I learned something about fire safety or financial literacy. So we just try to hopefully be there for our patrons and provide whatever we can for them.
Absolutely. I wanted to touch on something that you said when, you know, a parent is saying, my kids was saying they didn't want to come. And then at the end, they made a friend. I feel like that is something that every parent can empathize with. I have this conversation, especially with my youngest daughter, all the time when I'm trying to take her somewhere fun, somewhere that I know she will enjoy. And she'll be like, I don't want to go. This is going to be the worst day ever. And then 9 times out of 10 after that activity, she's like, this was the best day. I love this. And I'm like pulling out my hair thinking, that's what I was trying to tell you at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I want to say that, one, if that's happened to you parents, like you're not alone. But two, you know, just take them. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some practice. Even if the first time, the first story time, the first lap sit, doesn't go the way that you mm-hmm. have envisioned it in your head, right. keep coming back, because that's how families are going to develop relationships with you, like the little girl who goes and opens sure. the crayon box every time she comes or runs up to you and gives you a hug.
Yeah.
She didn't do that the first time she walked into mm-hmm. the library. But because her parents or caregivers have made it a priority to bring her regularly,
right.
she feels comfortable there and she feels safe there.
Yes, and we love that. And we even had a parent with a little boy who loved Legos. They suggested a program to us, and we're like, yeah, let's run with it. So we have a Brick Buddies club now, twice a month, and it was all because of this little boy. He wanted to make friends, and he loved Legos. So we're starting to build that up as well, and it's just so fun. It's just something fun, and there's kiddos making friends in this Brick Buddies club, so it's just awesome.
I love that. Y'all are doing so many good things. So we are right in the middle of summer. In Mesquite ISD, we offer a summer reading program for our students and staff, and your library puts a ton of effort into making your summer reading program really unique and special for families with individuals of all ages. So can you tell me a little bit about this year's summer reading program at your library and what is available for families to participate in?
The theme for this summer is Adventure Begins at Your Library. So we decided to take on a nature camping theme. So you'll see bears and moose and
not real bears or moose, right?
Not
I feel
real
like we
ones.
Need to clarify that.
But you'll see that around the library. We've got pine trees around, and we're just trying to make it fun for all ages, like you said. So we include teens and adults as well. Some libraries don't, but we love to include all ages. We have something, a little something for everybody. We have entertainers, kids crafts, story time, baby lap sit, teen time, and then a movie at the end of the week with popcorn. So we try. Oh, and then this year we had gotten a grant from Texas Reads. So we are going to be able to provide piano classes, dance classes, and art classes.
And how much
for
do these
free?
I was about to say, that's
for
amazing.
Free. So
because all of those classes, if you were to go out and pay for like a private individual,
it would get
pricey. Very expensive.
Yes, yes. So we are so excited to offer. And it's just basically an introductory class to, you know, ballet and hip hop and jazz, just things that maybe these kiddos have not been exposed to on a regular basis. And maybe it might inspire them to try it outside of the library. So,
yes, and this is a very risk-free opportunity
yes,
to
ma'am.
Allow families to give their child that experience.
It's in their community. It's close by, mm-hmm. and it's free.
Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast this morning, and the guest on that podcast was talking about, you know, like when your kids are little, like let them try everything. Let them try every sport. Let them try different instruments, dance.
Sure.
But that gets expensive. And when you're paying, you know, registration fees
Most
for
definitely.
All these dance companies or all these sports teams, it gets very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. And as parents, like we want our kids to have all these unique experiences, but
yeah.
It's just a financial burden in for a lot of families, including myself. So I love that you're creating these opportunities free for families and just to get them a nice introduction.
Sure. Yeah. And a lot of parents will say, I'm so glad you have this because it gives me just a little bit of a break from taking
sure.
care of my kiddos. So
those
it's
summer
just
days,
a little reprieve.
Those summer days get long. Definitely.
And for the adults who want to take that time for themselves, we are offering a variety of adult programs. We'll be offering free cooking classes in partnership with the North Texas Food Bank. All you have to do is show up. We're going to provide everything. We've got art classes for the adults as well. And just a whole schedule full of finance. The banks are coming out and they're going to be doing a weekly finance class. So yes, definitely encourage you to take a look at our calendar.
Okay, I want to talk about an art class that you have because you have an art class called Bad Art Class.
Yes.
I need more
details
on that.
Bad Art Night. And it just encourages participants to, you know, not focus so much on being perfect and what you're creating, but really just tap into your artistic side and have fun with it.
Yes. Yeah. We don't have to strive to be Picasso or Monet or somebody like that.
Absolutely
not. Just have fun. Try something new.
Yes.
I love that.
One more thing I want to add is we will have a class on the Cricut. So if you feel intimidated by that machine and you don't maybe have one at home, we are going to have one of our librarians show people how to use the Cricut, and then they'll go home with a little water bottle that's decorated. So, yeah.
So good.
We want to provide that for our community members.
I love that. Okay, last thing I want to talk to you about is library cards. that collaborative group that I mentioned earlier between you guys, Mesquite Public Library, and Mesquite ISD, we worked really hard on a project last year to develop the Library Share Card, which gives MISD students access, no matter where they live, if they're in Mesquite or Balt Springs, to check out books and resources from the Balt Springs Public Library and the Mesquite Public Library. That's something we are really, really proud of. And one of the goals of that project was just getting families into the library. Mm-hmm. Because library cards, I don't know what it is, can be very intimidating for people. They think, I don't know what I need to sign up for a library card. I don't know what they're going to ask me. I think people equate it to like going to get your driver's license, which is sure. such a process. So why don't you walk me through, what does it take for families to get a library card? What does that process look like?
We do need a picture ID and proof of their current address, but that is absolutely all they need to bring in with them. We will take down their phone number and their email, and then they even get to choose the design they want on their library card. So the whole process takes less than 2 minutes to get an individual card, and we make the process extremely easy for families who are coming in to get multiple cards. We can copy over a lot of that information. And so those cards are free for the residents of Mesquite and Balt Springs. If you do happen to live outside of those cities, it's a $25 non-resident fee, but that is for your whole family, as many cards as people in your family for the whole year.
And I can attest that that process was very easy. I just got my Balt Springs Public Library card. I live in Mesquite, so I have a Mesquite Public Library card. But when we were having our meeting, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sign up for one. And I love the designs. I say I got the happy design because it has a rainbow on it and like a unicorn. But yeah, you have like a ninja design and duck into the library with duck. So I love that you're making it fun, letting families choose.
That's our goal.
Yeah, so it's super easy. Okay, thank you guys so much. Y'all are doing incredible things at your library. Can you maybe point families to where they can find information about your programs, your story times, all of that, if they want to come check out what you're doing?
They can start at our website. We have all of our social medias linked to our website, but of course, we're on most popular platforms, Instagram, Facebook. We're on Pinterest. We have a YouTube page. And then if you are scared you're going to miss out on some of those posts, we also have a monthly emailing newsletter that we can send out to you as well.
Great. And I'll link all of your socials so if families want to go and follow you. I follow you guys on Facebook, and I always love seeing what you guys are doing because it's always something fun and something I know our families are going to totally love. So thank you guys so much for being on and sharing about all the good work you're doing at the Balt Springs Public Library. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Lindsay,
for having us.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Read, Play, Talk podcast with our guests, Jessica Lucero and Stacey Olguin from the Balt Springs Public Library. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in your community that could benefit from this information. Our episodes are released monthly, and you can subscribe to this podcast so you'll never miss an episode. If you're interested in ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home, you can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Read Play Talk and on Twitter at Read Play Talk TX.